one of you. We are going to just go ahead and dive right into this again, the way of love, agape love. And last time I preached, we looked at the first negative characteristic that Paul had mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. And then that was envy. Love does not envy. Today we're going to look at the next three. Love does not boast, love is not arrogant, and love is not rude. These three characteristics go together. In fact, they build on each other and they're connected in that they usually accompany one another because they come from the very same source. In other words, someone who boasts or a braggart is almost always arrogant, and an arrogant braggart almost always acts rude or unbecomingly, as some translations say, translate rude as unbecomingly. So that's what I mean when I say that all three of these are closely connected and almost always accompany one another. It's because they come from the same source. And I'll explain a little more on that later. Just go ahead and read 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 7. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Starting here in verse 4 is where he starts to describe what love is and is not. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoings, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. I'm going to be giving a little bit of an explanation on each of these three things that Paul says love is not. Boast or to brag. The word boast comes from the Greek word perperioumai. To boast, it means to boast, to be arrogant, or to vaunt oneself. This word is only used once in the Bible, and it is here in verse 4, and it means ostentatious rhetorical boasting. Ostentatious means attracting or seeking to attract attention, admiration, or envy, often by gaudiness, unnecessary show, overly elaborate or conspicuous, trying to impress others in a way that makes you the center of attention or the focus. I just want to start off by saying I have felt a little bit unsure about even sharing this message because I felt like I'm preaching to the choir. I don't feel that any of you have these characteristics, and I guess you know your heart more than I do. God knows your heart more than I do. So if any of these speak to you, that's fine. If not, whatever. I just want to kind of set that here, that I'm not here to just say that you or some of you have these characteristics, but I do want to take a deeper look at this, and I think that it can explain more as we go on and maybe show us some more things as we think of these things that we don't often think of, or that it means more than what it just says, boasting or arrogant or rude. R.C. Linsky said, "True love never detracts from the praise that is due another, nor tries to make him seem less and self seem more by comparison." Now, ostentatious bragging, you can do it in different ways. Some people dress ostentatiously. Ostentatious, remember, ostentatious means attracting or seeking to attract attention. You need the attention for yourself. You don't like when somebody else has it. You need it for yourself. Think of celebrities when they walk the red carpet, anytime in general for that matter. They dress ostentatiously. They want the spotlight on them. They want the attention for themselves, the focus on them. Social media can be used ostentatiously. Sometimes when people post, mostly your influencers, your whatever, but sometimes when people post things on social media, they are wanting others to see or recognize their accomplishments or hard work or whatever it may be. They want the spotlight on them. They want the attention. Not in all cases, but definitely some. So in this case, Paul is talking about bragging, and more specifically, ostentatious bragging. Think of a person who always has to one-up someone. When someone tells an interesting story, they have to tell an even better story. They want to be the center of attention. They need to be in the limelight. They want the focus on them, which is exactly what ostentatious means. So why is this contrary to true love? Because true love, agape love, focuses on the person you love and not yourself. Agape love is self-denial for the sake of another. So when you see or hear a person ostentatiously bragging or trying to steal the attention from somebody else, they are not showing agape love. They do not have agape love in their heart. On to the next one. Their love is not arrogant. The word arrogant is translated in Greek phusiao, and it means to puff up, to inflate, to make proud. Help's Word Studies describes phusiao as air bellows properly. Inflate by blowing, figuratively swelled up, like an egotistical person spewing out arrogant, puffed up thoughts. There again, I don't think any of you are out there swelled up like an egotistical person spewing up arrogant, puffed up thoughts, but let's take a deeper look at this. To have an exaggerated sense of self, an exaggerated sense of self-importance is what phusiao means. What's interesting is that Paul is the only New Testament author that uses this word phusiao, and of the seven times that he uses it, six are in this epistle, the book of 1 Corinthians, because they, the Corinthians, definitely had a problem with phusiao. They had a problem with an exaggerated sense of self. Now, the emphasis is on exaggerated, an exaggerated sense of self-importance. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, he says, For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. He says to not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. He doesn't say to not think highly of ourselves or to not put importance on ourselves or more importance on ourselves. He says to not think more highly of ourselves. See, if we don't objectively evaluate what we're good at and what we're not good at, how would we know what we're gifted to do and what we're called to do? In studying for this, I came across a saying by Pastor Alan Nolan, which, for the record, most of my material and a lot of what I'm saying is what he has said and shared in his in-depth study on this. But he said, what we're gifted to do, we're called to do, and what we're called to do, we're gifted to do. And I'm not quite sure how to feel about that because I felt that I've been called to do this, but I don't feel that I'm gifted to do it this morning for you. And so, yeah, I've wrestled with that a little bit. Anyways, and if someone says, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life, you should ask, well, what are you good at? And if they say, I don't know, I'm just not good at anything, well, that's not true. Because do you think God has made anyone worthless? No. So we have to honestly evaluate ourselves by the measure of faith and understanding that God has given to each of us to know what we're good at and what we're not good at. Now let's relate this to what Paul says in regard to love. Whenever we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, we have an exaggerated sense of self, which leads to an exaggerated sense of self-importance. And again, the emphasis is on exaggerated, which is what phusiao means. It doesn't mean a high sense of yourself or that you place a high importance on yourself. You are so important that the creator of this world died for your sins and wants to have an intimate relationship with you. But some people have a higher sense of self-importance, an exaggerated sense of self-importance. That is phusiao. And as I said earlier, Paul is the only one that uses this word. and he uses it because he wants you and I to know that true love does not have an exaggerated sense of self-importance, because agape love is always places a greater importance on others than it does itself. William Carey was a man thought by many people to be the founder of modern missionary movement. He lived in the 1700s, and Christians all over the world know who he was, and they honor him. He came from a very humble place. He was a cobbler, a shoe repairman, when God called him to reach the world for Jesus Christ, because he grew up in a place, invited to some fancy, and one day at a party, when a very snobbish British lord tried to insult him publicly. This is what the British lord said to him. He said it very loudly. He said, "Mr. Carey, I hear that you were once a shoemaker." He thought that would insult Mr. Carey publicly at this dinner party, a lowly shoemaker. You know what Carey replied? He replied, "No, my lord, I wasn't a shoemaker. I only repaired shoes." Now today, people know who William Carey was, but nobody remembers who that snobbish lord was. That snobbish lord had an exaggerated sense of self. He was trying to put somebody else down, Mr. Carey. And he was ostentatiously bragging in a way to put him down and lift himself up. That slide got in there on accident. Let's move on to the next one. Rude. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. Rude is translated in Greek as askemoneo, and it means to behave improperly, to act unbecomingly. Askemoneo connotes shameful behavior, often with sexual overtones. Now, this is one that I had no idea this is what rude meant. And some translations say to act unbecomingly. The only other time... Sorry, what's interesting is this verb only occurs here and in one other chapter in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 36. And that says, "If anyone is worried that he might not be acting honorably, askemoneo, toward the virgin he is engaged to, and if his passions are too strong and he feels he ought to marry, he should do as he wants. He is not sinning. They should get married." Askemoneo, or translated as rude, or to act unbecomingly, does not simply mean just to not be snarky or rude or just make comments. It means a lot more. The semantic scope of askemoneo, or the linguistic meaning relating to the language of the time in which Paul wrote this, is this. The verb askemoneo captures the idea of conduct that is socially or morally out of line. Anything that violates the order, dignity, or modesty God intends for human relationships. It addresses both public decorum and private propriety, and can shade from simple discourtesy to the outright sexual impropriety, depending on context. I don't know if y'all remember the story of Jacob and Leah's daughter, Dinah, how she was raped by Shechem. And in the Middle East and in their culture, they had shame. It was considered a shame to do that. And it's still in ours too, I guess, but not as much in the U.S., and that's changed a lot. But they still have to worry about shame and honor killings, because when Shechem, after he did that, he actually fell in love with Dinah, and he wanted to marry her. And he asked her father and his brothers if he could, and the brothers didn't want him to. You know, there were 12 brothers, and they came up with this plan that if he and their whole village were circumcised, he could marry their sister. And about, I think it was 3 days After they were circumcised, they were so sore they couldn't hardly move. Simeon and Levi went in and slew them all. And Jacob was like, you can't do this. This, we're living in this land with all these people. He slew all, they slew all the men in the village. And, you know, Simeon and Levi were Dinah's only full brothers. There were 12 of them, but Jacob had two wives and two concubines. So there's something to that, you know, with being full brothers. But they had to worry about shame and honor killings. Shechem had brought shame on their family, and they were going to say, you don't bring shame on our family. We're going to, you know, he was acting askemeneo. He had, he was acting unbecomingly. So askemeneo can also relate to shameful behavior without sexual overtones, and in those cases, it's simply to act in defiance of social and moral standards, but most of the time, it has sexual connotation to it. So to translate askemeneo as rude doesn't do it justice, because it means so much more than being rude. What Paul is saying is that true love, agape love, will never try to coerce another person to do something shameful or something that goes against social or moral standards. So back to all three of these being connected to each other. All three characteristics, bragging, perperiuamihi, arrogance, fusiao, rude or acting unbecomingly, askemeneo, they all have the same root cause, and that is pride. So let's look at some references in the Bible that talk about pride. Proverbs 16, verse 18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 11, verse 2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. Proverbs 16, verse 5, everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished. Proverbs 29, verse 23, one's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. James 4, 6 and 1 Peter 5, 5 say, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. 1 John 2, 16, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father but is from the world. Proverbs 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. Proverbs 13, verse 10 says, pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is with people who take advice. Now, there's three reasons that pride breeds quarrels. Pride prevents communication, pride provokes criticism, and pride prohibits confession. James 1:19 says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. In a relationship, we need to be, in any relationship, in any time, we need to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. In a relationship, a prideful person thinks they already know what the other person is thinking or feeling, so when they should be listening, they're talking, and that causes them to jump to wrong conclusions, and that is going to breed quarrels, so that is why pride prevents communication. For the second one, pride provokes criticism. Proverbs 21, verse 24 says, scoffer is the name of the arrogant, haughty man who acts with arrogant pride. The word scoffer comes from the Hebrew word lutz, and it refers to a person who mocks others or ridicules others by pointing out their faults. The truth is, you'll never see a proud and arrogant man that doesn't make fun of others, and that's why it means mocker is his name. He becomes known for cutting other people down, for belittling other people. He is a mocker. So naturally, making fun of people will breed quarrels because nobody likes someone who is known to make fun of others, and soon you're going to not talk to the person and because it's not healthy. It's not fun to be around. For the third one, pride prohibits confession. James 5:16 tells us to confess our faults one to another. Five of the most important words in any relationship are, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Mark Twain once said, tempers get us into trouble, but pride keeps us there. You know, pride is not always what gets us into trouble. It's what keeps us keeps us in trouble. It's most times something else that gets us there, but it's pride, prohibits confession. Don't want to confess these things because of how it makes me look, or I have pride in my life and I don't want other people to know what I have done. Pride prohibits confession. Most, if not all, broken relationships, whether it be marriage or friendships or colleagues, are destroyed because of pride, and it's because pride prohibits confession. If you are a prideful person, let me ask you one question. Do you want to be right, or do you want to be reconciled? So I guess to kind of wrap all these up and come back to boasting, rude, and arrogance, they all kind of come back to pride, and we know the opposite of pride is humility, and Jensen talked about that in Sunday school too. Live our lives with humility. And when we have humility, all these things, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoings, but rejoices with the truth, is what Paul says in the love chapter of what love is and what is not. When we live our lives with humility, when we put others first, when we put other people and their desires and their needs ahead of our own, that is when we can have and show agape love. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you. Just want to thank you for your word that we can study and that you can show to us what you mean and how you show us what agape love is and what is not. Help us to continue to pursue other people and other people's desires, to put other people's desires ahead of ourselves. And we could continue to show love, to not boast, to not be a braggart, to not be arrogant, or to act unbecomingly. Just help us to recognize things in our life that, if any of these things are present in our lives, help us to recognize them and to reconcile them. Just go with us and keep us throughout the remainder of this day and this week. It's in your name we pray. Amen.